When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Storm Chasers outfielder Devin Mann is named International League Player of the Week because he had a good week. Typically what happens when people win those awards after Omaha wins 5-6 in Iowa. He hit .467 with three doubles and a home run, and he scored five times, though not on that one home run. That'd be a five-run homer. He has stretched his on-base streak to 18 games, longest current streak in the International League for the season. Mann, who was traded to the Royals organization from the Dodgers last August, is batting .301 with three homers and 14 RBIs. He leads Omaha in on-base percentage at .420. The Storm Chasers return to action tonight to light it up as they host the mighty Jumbo Shrimp of Jacksonville. Ah, can hear Bob Shepard now.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp.
Nebraska baseball's Jackson Rocket named Big Ten Pitcher of the Week and earns Pitcher of the Week recognition on the national level by D1 Baseball in perfect game, ironically, because he tossed a no-hitter, which is like a perfect game. Kind of. In program history, first 9-inning no-hitter since 1954. Nebraska's 8-0 win over the Purples of Kansas State last week. In his first start of the season, Brockett posted, man, we're talking about setting the bar high, posted a career-high 12 strikeouts on 107 pitches, which is the most punch-outs by a Husker pitcher this season. Nebraska hosts South Dakota State tomorrow. I think weather's supposed to be good. People should go. The Mavericks game against Kansas, that's the Omaha, not Dallas ones, tonight has been canceled, originally set to be played at Legends Field in Kansas City, Kansas, due to a scheduling conflict with the stadium's primary tenant, the Kansas City Monarchs.
Like, how does that happen?
Yeah. Just even reading this again, that doesn't make sense.
This isn't a high school game or a little league game. It's a college baseball game.
This was
game.
Scheduled.
Yeah.
Just go to Lawrence. It's a lot of fun this
time
of year.
Why trust me. Why can't they play the game in Lawrence?
It's finals week. No one's going to school.
I don't know. So, my initial reaction was, KU doesn't want their RPI to be impacted because we are in that time of the year where teams are canceling games because of conflicts, because they don't want their RPI to take a hit. Is KU's RPI pretty good? Omaha's is not.
I've got to look. That triggered that.
Because
right
Omaha
now.
Was looking forward to that because, yeah, they're playing at the Monarchs ballpark that is right by Sporting KC and the Speedway out in Kansas.
Could taking a team field trip to the Legends.
And and Omaha has played.
Kansas is 64th in the RPI.
So KU banged that game because they don't want their RPI to be impacted.
Yep, no doubt. No doubt. Come on.
They're like, fine, get on a bus anyway. Anyway, Omaha returns to action this weekend for a home finale against first place
Omaha's
St. Thomas.
RPI is .291 if you needed reference on that little discrepancy there.
Nice. They just want to play a baseball game. So they had the game canceled here and there.
That's true. Yeah.
Ooh, it's going to be some bad blood.
It was weather here.
And they played in volleyball early this fall. Budding rivalry. Since Kansas and Nebraska no longer play, at least one of the Nebraska schools can get into it with them. And then you have Creighton.
Do you know that when they were discussing who Omaha basketball would play to open up Baxter Arena?
Yeah, they were talking about KU.
They talked about KU. And so this was Trev, and he approached KU and was wondering how much it would take. Because then they had to figure, well, we only have about 8,000 tickets to sell.
Right.
What would the ticket price be so that at least we could make some money? And KU listened, but it didn't go any further. And then Trev went to Iowa State. Mm-hmm. He was like, hey, do you guys want to play here? And then he went to Oregon. And they ended up with Cal Santa Barbara.
Of course. Hey.
It happens.
Yeah. It never hurts to ask.
Yeah, you have a list and you work your way down the list.
Yeah, but they tried to get KU to open up the arena. Yeah. But it was like they would have to charge like $55 a ticket.
Wow.
They would pay it. Anyway. It worked out. Did they win that game?
They actually got beat.
Did they lose that game?
Yeah, Mitch Kupchak's son a last-second shot.
That's right.
For a second, Mitch Kupchak's like, whoa, he just buried this lead. I watched Winning Time.
You know that
he had a year of eligibility
the first
left.
Game in Baxter Arena, I did not do.
Oh, did not?
Because I was doing TV. Oh. We had a high school football Class A semifinal out at Buell. the great Millard North Bellevue West game where Millard North scored on a trick play in overtime, and then Millard West and Omaha North. So I had obligations to TV.
I honestly could not remember because when I think that they won, now I'm thinking they won I remember the opener at the Ralston Arena.
Yeah.
And they had old Sox, Justin. Yeah. Okay, so that would make sense. And a lot of those run together. But can you imagine? I mean, people would have paid that.
Yeah.
People would have paid $55 to see KU to CKU Omaha.
Hey, people are going to pay a lot of money to come see KU when they play in Omaha.
Oh, yeah.
How about Creighton's schedule? Creighton might be the only team in the country that could play the two top teams in preseason. Because after Alabama's recent addition, if Sears comes back, Alabama's got to be the number two team in the country. And
then you get Kansas.
Creighton gets KU here, and then they go to Tuscaloosa on the 14th of December.
Yeah.
It's pretty good. Also pretty good in hockey. Bruins beat the Panthers 5-1 to take game one of their series tonight. Rangers, Hurricanes game two, Stars, Avalanche game one. In the NBA, former Knick Rick Brunson's son Jalen had yet another brilliant fourth quarter Monday. Rick helped lead them to the 94 NBA Finals with relentless basket attacks and masterful shot creation leading to 21 of his 43 points as the New York Knicks clawed out a 121-117 game one victory over Indiana Pacers. Reggie Miller could not score 8 points in 10 seconds. Nothing like playoff basketball at the Garden. There's no sarcasm. If you grew up when we did, you trust me, it's great to see it back. In Denver, with Rudy Gobert unavailable and the defending champion Denver Nuggets needing a win to even their Western Conference semifinal series, the Timberwolves said no. Put on a masterful defensive performance in a 106-80 Game 2 victory that was not as close as the final score indicates. Ant-Man and Cat each score 27, with Cat adding 10 rebounds. Game was over as over as the Nuggets season in the second quarter. The T-Wolves head home looking to sweep the defending champions of pro basketball and keep Christian Brown fully clothed this summer. Game 3 Friday night at the Target Center. Somebody take me with. I miss being at playoff basketball tonight. Celtics Cavs game 1, Mavs Durant, Oklahoma City, which is still standing as of this morning. Victor Wembanyama came into the NBA with massive expectations, and he responded one of the best rookie campaigns the league has ever seen as he was named NBA Rookie of the Year yesterday, garnering all 99 first place votes. Oklahoma City Thunder center Chet, he'll be playing tonight, so he didn't care too much. The number two pick in the 2022 NBA draft came in second. 98 second place votes.
How many, you're absolutely right about the atmosphere at MSG when the Knicks are playing. I mean, it's electric. And I wonder, it's a big reason why I want to go into the Big East tournament because of MSG.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I wonder if it's louder in there when they redid MSG. Because it does on TV appear to be louder.
Yeah.
But think about how many venues, and maybe this is just basketball, that the venue, regardless of the game, makes it bigger. Like MSG makes a game bigger. Old Boston Garden, old Chicago Stadium.
The old Parquet, yep.
You could the Forum
mm-hmm.
in its heyday.
Yep.
Like Allen Fieldhouse.
Yeah.
Cameron Indoor. Would you go that far?
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Any football? Like the old Orange Bowl. When it was in Little Havana, that made the venue made the game seem bigger.
Mm-hmm.
Especially a few times it was packed.
I mean, I
thought at one point Notre Dame Stadium. I've grown weary.
I think you're onto something here.
But I think back when we were growing up, I think Notre Dame Stadium had that big feel.
Remember,
like when Florida State Notre Dame, the one versus two, that was the Charlie Ward year, they beat Nebraska.
It is still pretty cool, though.
Yeah,
I mean. You know, they've added on to it and they've kind of modernized it.
Right.
But think about Big Ten football. Like all the stadiums we've been to.
The Big House.
I'd say the Big House only because Appalachian State.
So I will stay local. Memorial Stadium can be, because it has been, a venue where the game seems bigger. I'll ask Dylan Gabriel. Dylan Gabriel interviewed the other day said he loved playing at Memorial Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
But then they didn't ask him what happened in the second quarter when OU was here a couple years ago. But like, okay, so
Gus Johnson's don't ask.
And Ann Arbor, Michigan Stadium's overrated.
I agree.
Yeah.
I totally agree.
Now, I'd rather go to the Shoe for an environment.
Now the Horseshoe, I have a bad, every time I've been to the Horseshoe, Nebraska's got absolutely clobbered.
I've never been to the Horseshoe.
Okay, so the crowd really isn't in it till the fourth quarter.
Okay.
But it does have the feel because of the way it's built that the venue makes the game bigger. I'll give you another one. Well, I'll give you two, and they're both in Los Angeles.
Not Ross Aid Stadium.
I'll get back to you on that one. Not the Metrodome.
What about Ryan Field?
Maybe the new...
Maybe new Ryan Fielder.
Maybe the temporary.
Yeah.
So, when everybody went out to L.A. for the USC game, and when you go back to L.A. this year for the USC game, wait till you see the Coliseum.
A little different.
They have put a lot of money into it. It looks different. The whole neighborhood looks different.
That was Rams
there
money
is
too.
An MLS stadium right next door. They've kind of cleaned up the area. There's more to do, you know, across the street from the Coliseum.
Mm-hmm.
But it looks different. So when you went there back in the Bill Callahan era and you walked into the Coliseum and you've only seen it on TV, whether it be from whoever played there in the NFL or USC.
Especially
did the old Coliseum make the game feel bigger? Or was the Coliseum just way too big and still is?
I see. I'm going to say the latter there. It never to me made the matchup where, oh, damn, and they're playing at the Coliseum. Yeah. I never got those feels. I could see other people having that, especially if you've experienced it live and you've seen games. Right. I personally have never had that feel. Now, going into the Rose Bowl, which I've never been to.
Game.
That would do it for me. Even if I'm watching a meaningless non-Rose Bowl game.
Omaha 8th grade football game?
Yeah, it's even half full. Something about being in that stadium would make me feel that. I think, at least.
What if it was just for one day a year? Going to a UCLA game at the Rose Bowl when it's not full and there's not pageantry.
That's sad.
I think it's blah.
Is it? It could be.
Look at those early season pictures they sell.
When there's a rose on the field and the San Gabriel Mountains look a little bit better.
You got the stadium split with colors of the one team compared to the other team. Yeah. There's a lot about the setting of it. You're right. That magnifies it. I just think now having lived as long as I have and being around college football, that would just walking in and seeing a UCLA game would be pretty cool. I think I would feel that. Now, I don't know if that's
of your friends.
And I don't even know if that's not even your original question
that's
of
the listed
whether you're watching in person or on TV, the venue enhances the matchup. Okay, to that what I just described wouldn't. But I'm now going into a stadium that would give me the feels. That one over the Coliseum would give me the feels.
I only say that the Rose Bowl because I've been to a UCLA game there. And then I've been to the Rose Bowl.
Right.
And the stadium just looks different.
Yeah.
Well, for one, it's not sold out
there's
for
people.
A UCLA game. Yeah, there's people.
No tarps.
Well, the tarp.
And there also is the pageantry.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can't go, hey, Friday, let's play on the golf course next to the Rose Bowl. You can't do that when the Rose Bowl is going on.
Yeah.
Or you just came from the parade or whatever.
Right. Asian Joe's right. Happy Valley on a whiteout. That's definitely another one.
I'll give you another sneaky one.
Also, Anthony Edwards.
And welcome to
the
Big Ten, and I am definitely afraid of what you're doing. It doesn't get as much run, but man, Autzen Stadium in Eugene.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Husky Stadium.
Autzen Stadium almost has to have a night game.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. At 12 o'clock in the afternoon, it's not the same.
I think, one, Oregon is scary. I mean, They're buying players. They're recruiting like crazy. Like, they're going to be preseason top five. It's them and Ohio State in the new Big Ten.
Lanning's a dude.
I'd be very, very afraid, as long as Dan Lanning is running the show in Eugene, that Oregon is a problem. But that stadium doesn't get as much run nationally, I think, as being, first of all, it was a cool place to watch a game. Nebraska and Oregon played out there, and the day was beautiful. The weather was. But it just is... It's small.
Mm-hmm. It's 55,000, right?
It's loud. People are into it. And because of the intimate atmosphere, it does make the game on the field seem big.
Mm-hmm. The year that I think it did get a lot of publicity, and this probably would have been, we go all the way back to maybe Joey Harrington, where it started to get a lot of publicity because remember there were actual seismic readings.
Mm-hmm.
When it's sold out, that you would actually get a seismic reading for how much it vibrates and how loud it actually gets. And then you realize it's 55,000, but then you see kind of the odd schematic, how it has that sort of uneven structure, whatever, however you want to describe it. So I think it had that reputation, but I don't think as of late in the last decade, maybe it's just because once you have that reputation.
When they play Washington, that's the game to go to.
And remember, Washington was one of those places too, because of the sound at Husky Stadium.
I love that stadium.
And anytime you get the wind, you have the it's essentially sounds like a tornado siren.
Oh, it's
supposed to be a wolf call or whatever. But yeah,
Mark mentions Husky Stadium there on Lake Washington.
Yeah. And that one, I think, is known. Yeah, the sailgating, the scene, but also known for the sound. Because I remember when Nebraska, and this would have been in 97.
And by the way, that stadium looks different from the last time Nebraska played there.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. And the 97 season, when Nebraska went in and got that win, that was kind of the defining victory of where people were like, oh, damn, Nebraska really is going to be a player. They always talked about it. I remember, you know, T.O. and leading up to that game, everybody talked about how they're going to communicate in that noise. Because at the time, I believe that was always the loudest venue
that
anybody ever. Yes,
the
overhang, and it's tin, and so sound didn't go anywhere. It just came right on top of you.
And they're right on top.
So I think once you have established yourself as one of those venues, even if the home record doesn't prove it, I think you're always considered to be in one of those top big time environments. Then it's up to the team and years after that to keep that going with, hey, look at what their record is at this place, too. So that makes the environment that much more difficult. That makes the game, the matchup itself, especially when you have a top 25 team coming in, it makes it that much more intriguing because of the venue. And I do. I think Memorial Stadium is always on people's minds when it comes to that. It's just been the home record as of late. Probably doesn't drive that point home, but they've always been on the map when it comes to that. When we always have the top 25 loudest or most intimidating environments, people will have Nebraska on that list at times, just not lately.
Kyle Field, when they made it bigger, and I'm being biased because of where I grew up, they never said Austin because that was Wine and Cheese, but College Station.
But isn't that Michigan too, Wine and Cheese?
Yeah.
Michigan, it's just huge. That's about it. It's not like, damn, it is loud.
College Station was beer and Whataburger.
I think Michigan's going to get a wake-up call without Harbaugh. Harbaugh made the Michigan job better.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people say that's the third best job in the Big Ten, behind Ohio State, Oregon, Michigan, then Penn State. That would all find their way like in the top 10 of the best jobs in college football. Harbaugh made the Michigan job better.
Mm-hmm.
I think Michigan is in for a rude awakening. Whatever is coming down the pike from the NCAA. And, I mean, Harbaugh was really, really good. They're not going to be able to replace him.
He's one of one.
Harbaugh and success made the stadium like, oh, man, Michigan Stadium. I can tell you, been there numerous times. Nothing.
You have a conversation with your friend.
And I'm not being biased because of the result of the team that I was there to watch. Because I've seen a win and a loss there.
Mm-hmm.
There was just other than it's large, there's nothing about Michigan Stadium.
It's quiet.
But they're in Michigan lands. We're gonna have some speaks because I think.
You heard the bad
Harbaugh
signal.
To Moore. You're gonna realize the value of Jim Harbaugh, whether he's got Connor Stallions on his side or not. They're just different. Remember what Michigan was before Harbaugh.
Yeah.
And Harbaugh made that job better,
mm-hmm.
or made it what it should be, and hasn't
been. Yeah, I would say
from
that.
The likes of Chris Christie and Rich Rodriguez coaching.
All right, let's. I got one more for you, college football, because you got to end positively. Because I'm known.
How
for
did you forget
positivity.
Brady Hoke in that conversation?
He didn't.
Come on, the loss.
I didn't.
Oh,
he
you?
Didn't.
You? I didn't hear you
Chris
say Brady
Christie.
Hoke.
Yeah.
Oh,
I was with you.
I was waiting for you to say the lost Golic brother
did
because I swear he's a Golic brother as well.
Didn't miss a beat right away. I was like, oh yeah.
Chris never.
Finally, since we're talking about possibilities of 7-5 teams here in Omaha coming up this fall, the one, the only, Snoop Dogg announces the new Snoop Dogg Arizona Bowl, mm-hmm. presented by Gin and Juice by Dre and Snoop, announcing his intent to bring the juice back to college football. The game, previously sponsored by Barstool Sports, they've upgraded, will take place December 28th in Tucson as a pair of teams from the Mountain West and Mid-American Conferences. Oh, lucky them. The partnership marks the first with an alcohol product as the presenting sponsor of an NCAA-sanctioned bowl game. In February, the new beverage company introduced Gin and Juice as their first ready-to-drink product, a nod to Snoop Dogg's hit from the album Doggy Style.
What does that gift suite going to look like?
Death Row Record. What, the mascot or what?
The gift suites.
Oh.
Are those still a thing now that NILs, you know?
Yeah, you still get gifts for a bowl game.
You get the gift suite.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
remember, that was the exciting thing.
Ooh, might be getting paid to play in a bowl game.
Yeah, it's true.
So move over, Pop-Tarts Bowl. Someone else has entered the chat.
So that's the Barstool bowl Sports Bowl,
yeah,
right, that
yeah.
they dropped?
Yeah. Yep.
They need a mascot. How about Billy the Blunt? Happy face just walks around.
Legal Red in eyes. Arizona? Yeah or nay?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, it is.
I did look it up when we were out there. And then I smelled it at dinner.
Yeah, we were just out there and it was... We had a check.
Consumed?
No.
A little peyote when you're out there in the desert doing your desert. Retreat or whatever you're doing?
What do they call that? What was that in Young Guns? The spirit world?
Yeah.
Yeah. We did not enter the spirit world, but we were in a place where you could definitely smell it, and then so I had to look because I thought it was legal.
One quick thing here from Pat, and he's absolutely right, and it's a shame that when Nebraska played, there was not a true night game, but Blacksburg.
Yes.
Blacksburg at night.
Mm-hmm.
Virginia Tech's going through it a little bit. But
they have those Thursday night games, too, especially.
And, you know, they have the they're open.
Yeah, the entertainment.
It's just Columbia, South Carolina, a night game.
Sandstorm.
Not a day game. Night game. Sandstorm.
Yep.
Yes. It makes it different. But
yeah.
Blacksburg, I would put that on the college football bucket list to go to a night game at Virginia Tech.
There was...
Because the stadium's unique.
Yeah, because it goes up high.
Yeah, like on the sides.
Yes.
It didn't have the same feel as like a true night game when Nebraska played there. What was that, about 15 years ago?
Yeah.
That was one of the coolest things. That they were playing Miami on a Thursday night where when they went to the live broadcast, and I think ESPN was doing it, the announcers introduced themselves and they said, and we are going to be quiet and we are going to let you take in this experience. And so
here's ESPN's James Hetfield.
You had the, I think it was go Hokies. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden you hear the ding, 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 ding. And the way that switch just goes off when you have not only everybody in the stands jumping up and down, but the band members that are creating the tunnel are jumping up and down. The members of the military that are going to be presenting the colors are jumping up and down. And then you see the look on the player's face as they then enter the opening to see all of that. I mean, I'm watching the game and I'm just getting chills and I'm fired up. Yeah, I mean, that is one of the coolest entrances that you'll see in college football.
All right. No Sam McEwen this morning. Sam's taken this week off.
That time of year.
So he will not be with us. If you're tuning in now to listen to Sammy Mac, that's okay. That gives us more time to talk about the t-shirt idea I want to have for the 2024 season. USC, the infancy of USC. I always did a schedule shirt. Mm-hmm. Super popular. I know some people that still back in the day of Kevin and Bob and then Kevin and Michael, they still have the schedule t-shirts. I've got a t-shirt idea that we may be able to pull off here at NRG, which I think would be fantastic for this upcoming season. Also, who's having a better life right now, Bill Murray or Danny Hurley? We'll get into that. I know
what you're getting at.
They do have a connection, though. I mean, Bill Murray's son works for Coach Hurley.
It's true.
He watched my alma mater the other day.
Both recently have been in Omaha. Mornings with Sharp and Hanley and Jimmy Hunt. 1620 The Zone. What do these things have in common? You have no interest in your spouse or your partner. You have relationship problems. You also have been looking down at your gut and you're like, whoa, hello. If you don't feel like you did about 5 to 10 years ago, you can't be present with your family as a father, a husband, a friend. You're like, I'm absent. I'm bad, like the Cubs bullpen. You know what? Jed Hoyer can fix it with maybe a trade or two. You can fix it by diagnosing, do you have low testosterone? Now, even if you've tried testosterone before, not everyone understands the blood chemistry in men's bodies, and that's where mentality comes into play. Right here in Omaha, they've been helping thousands of men get back to feeling their best because they are overcoming low T. They're board-certified physicians. They'll give you a complete physical examination, consultation, blood panel with results on your very first visit so they can get you on a plan if you have low T to be the best for your family and yourself by having more energy and a better attitude. Trust me, your energy levels will change. Just trust mentality. But first, get in, get a physical, and see if you have low T. If you don't, they're going to say thank you. For more information, go to the website, lowtusa.com. It is mentality.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.